Words of instruction regarding the sanitarium. July 23, 1900. Typed. The time has come for us to arise and build the sanitarium without waiting for anyone. This work is the work of the Lord, and it should have been done before this. The building of the sanitarium has long been contemplated, but the work has been delayed from positive necessity. The school buildings had to be erected, and this called for the means. We need now to walk by faith. The Lord will help us if we will arise and build. The light which the Lord has been pleased to give me is that in the work of establishing the sanitarium, we should ask our people for donations and loans. All the donations possible are to be obtained, and then our brethren are to be asked to loan their money, without interest or at a low rate of interest. But we are not to borrow money from the banks, even though we are obliged to put up the building piece by piece. In this matter, let us work with an eye single to the glory of God. The sanitarium is to be established as an instrumentality for representing our work and reaching the people. It is to be an agency for showing people the evil of disregarding the laws of health and life, and for teaching them how to preserve their bodies in the best condition of health. It is God's desire that we shall reach the people where they are, in their suffering. There is great need of this work. The prophet Hosea gives a description of the condition of the world at the present time. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing, and lying, and killing, and stealing, and committing adultery, they break out, and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and every one that dwelleth therein shall languish, with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Hosea 4, verse 1 to 3. The condition of the world today resembles the condition which existed before the flood. Then God saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Genesis 6, verse 5, 11-13. What does God see as he looked upon the earth and its inhabitants today? The same condition of things that he saw in Noah's day. Christ declared, As the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Matthew 24, verse 37-39. The 21st chapter of Luke should be studied by those who have respect for their own souls and for the souls of their fellow men. In this article, I can merely call your attention to these things. It is essential that you study them for yourselves. We are living in the last days of this earth's history. From the instruction given us in the Old and New Testaments, God desires us to learn that we are not to place ourselves and those connected with us in intimate connection with the most depraved and demoralized, who are corrupt in thought, word, and action. If workers of limited experience are placed in close connection with this class, there is danger that they will, by beholding, become changed into the same image, that the standard of holiness and truth will be lowered. There is danger that corruption will cease to appear in its vileness to those who are trying to bring about a reform, and that the truth will become confused with that which is common and low. Many who have been placed in positions of teachers are not prepared to stand the test. The difference between a good man and a wicked man is not always caused by natural goodness of disposition. Goodness is the result of divine power transforming human nature. By believing in Christ, the fallen race he has redeemed may obtain that faith which works by love and purifies the soul from all defilement. Then Christ-like attributes appear. For by beholding Christ, men become changed into the same image from glory to glory, from character to character. Good fruit is produced. The character is fashioned after the divine similitude, and integrity, uprightness, and true benevolence are manifested toward the sinful race. It is God's desire that men and women shall have that genuine faith in Christ which conforms the life to his likeness. He desires them to surrender the entire will to him, that he may sanctify them daily, enabling them to keep all his commandments. It is not necessary for man to degrade himself with the wicked associations of society around him. He who is compelled by circumstances he cannot control to be where wickedness, deep and pronounced, is all around him, may remember that God and the angels are with him. His only safety is to keep looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of his faith. His father, mother, brothers, and sisters may be on the side of the enemy, but he has the assurance that he is guarded by the Lord. It may cost him his life to stand for the truth, yet he will be saved when the wicked are destroyed. If men are saved, they must believe in God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. They must keep his commandments as the light comes to them, as his word is preached by his messengers. Enoch walked with God, though living in a time no more favorable to perfection of Christian character than the time in which we live. He did not make his abode with the wicked. He did not locate in Sodom, thinking to save Sodom. He placed himself and his family where the atmosphere would be as pure as possible. Then, at times, he went forth to the inhabitants of the world with his God-given message. Every visit he made to the world was painful to him. He saw and understood something of the leprosy of sin. After proclaiming his message, he always took back with him to his place of retirement some who had received the warning. Some of these became overcomers and died before the flood came. But some had lived so long in the corrupting influence of sin that they could not endure righteousness. They did not retain their purity of faith, but returned to their former customs and practices. Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage." Jude 14:16. As Noah proclaimed his warning message, some listened and worked with him in building the ark, but they did not endure. Evil influences prevailed. They turned away from the truth to become scoffers. Thus it will be in the last days of this earth's history. Those who today hear the message of truth but do not believe will fall amid the moral infidelity, even as in Noah's day, those who were not firmly grounded failed to stand till the end of their probation. When the Lord rewards every man according to his deeds, these men will understand that God is truth, and that his message would have been their life and salvation if they had accepted the evidence given and practiced the condition laid down. Then they will see that they might have been saved had they not rejected the only means of salvation. The trials of God's people may be long and severe, but the Lord never forgets them. Those who believe the truth and obey the commandments will find refuge in Christ. They will have the effectual protection of His ever-loving care as long as they take their position on the side of God and His law, which ever has governed and ever will govern His kingdom. Those who hold fast the beginning of their confidence, firm unto the end, will find that God is faithful, and that He will fulfill His covenant to His commandment-keeping people. Those who have charge of the work of erecting the sanitarium should remember that over them there is a builder who understands all about their character building. He wants his workmen to put the very best work into the building of the sanitarium and into everything that needs to be done on the grounds, tilling the soil, or gathering the fruit. God's people are to rise higher and still higher. The reformative process is to go forward day by day, hour by hour. Ever they are to remember that God is the builder of character. They are to seek to have the very best material put into their character building, that God may say to them, "Come up to me into the mount, that I may communicate to you the principles to be given to the people." The Lord is speaking to His people in these last days, calling upon them to do a work which will arouse the world. The members of the different churches are to be given opportunity to know that they are not walking in the truth. There is to be no mingling of truth and error. This will not accomplish the work essential to be done in the world. The message we are to bear is grand and solemn and decided in its results. By obedience or disobedience, the case of everyone is to be decided. Desire for the preeminence is a besetting, soul-deceiving, spirit-blinding sin, which has caused the loss of millions and millions of souls, the loss even of those working as ministers and missionaries. God's blessing comes to the lowly in heart, not to souls uplifted with pride and clothed with selfish vanity. Those men who are the most humble are the men to whom God will say, "Come up higher. I can work with you because you are willing to wear my yoke and desirous of learning of me my meekness and lowliness." In the future, sudden changes will unexpectedly take place. The Lord will choose whom He can use. The usefulness of any man God alone can estimate. Man must go about his work with earnest fidelity, cleansing himself from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. He who walks humbly in the path of God's appointment is always safe.